as it said said in the literal reading of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, if it is in reference to such being so conventionally, then since Ajahn exists in that way, how could it be said that they are not observed? So these Sotantic schools are arguing to it's like the great vehicle, the 10 great vehicles. So in the Perfection of Wisdom mentioned that all the phenomena is natureless. So Sotantic school, they are pretty much formed into believing that ultimately existing or ultimate truth, this is the functional things are ultimate truth, non-functional things are not ultimate truth. So there is a truly independently existence. So without truly an independent existence, there is no way of possessing the cause and effects, the function of the cause and effect. So then they are making argument to the follower of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. This is, you are explicitly saying that all the phenomena are natureless. So now how, and there is one sutra, it mentioned action and fruitions exist but not in agent. Right, agents not exist. So there is no I, but there is action, karma, there is the result of the karma, but there is no I. And now, and then, Sotantic school or the Hiri sectarian, they are making the statement or arguing that how do you explain that? How do you describe that sutra if you believe that everything is naturalless, right? And there is the existence of action and the fruition of the action. And there is no agent, there is no I. How do you explain that? How do you describe that sutra? So, ultimately, how could all phenomena be natureless? So, action or the action and the fruition exist. So how do they exist, action and fruition, and how is it action and the action of action, the fruit of the action, exists in the ultimate level or the conventional level, right? So if this action and the fruition exists, that means is so that describes as exist ultimately, and how could you describe that agents do not exist, right? If agent not exists in ultimate level, so that indicates existence is ultimately existence. So action and the fruition must be ultimately existent. If there is the action and the fruition, the ultimately existence, how could you explain the non-existent of agent? So this is the Hiri sectarians, so making argument towards the follower of the Perfection of Wisdom. And in answer, Vasubandhu asked, if one knows what conventional and ultimate are, one understands through this to exist in those two ways. Therefore, what those two be? What do you, Hiri sectarians, take those to be? So actually, this action and fruition not exist. exist, but not the agent. So that means let the name you the chapop and the mimi so in my only school, so explanations or description on this sutra, that this context, they said action and fruition are substantial existence, right? Feeling in substantial existence, and like things that are seen, that can seen through the sense consciousness are substantial existence. Even though the functional things like I is not substantial existence, is imputely existence. I that is not a prior object of the sense consciousness, and this, the things that like a table and chairs and flowers, those are substantial existence, because without depending on labeling, without depending on imaginations, we can perceive those phenomena. So that are the substantial existence, right? Now, and action is the consciousness. So to observe, to perceive the action and the fruit, there is no need to rely or the depending on imagination and labeling. Without labeling, without imaginations, we can experience the action, we can experience the fruit. So those two are substantial existence. So existing here in this school and the substantial existence. Now agent is not exist, is not substantial existence. Agent I is imputely exist. Right. So so Tantric school believes this is a very wise way of asking questions. It's a very tricky questions. They believe that. How do you explain that sutra? So action and the fruit are exist, but not the agent, right? Agent is not exist. So how do you describe that existence? How do you describe that agent not existence, right? Now, existing and not existence, if you describe that in two ultimate label and conventional label, then you have to say action and fruits are exist ultimately. Agent as I is not ultimately existence. So that means, and then you already believe or accept the action and the fruits are ultimately existence. So that means you cannot literally take the meaning from this Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, because every phenomenon is naturallessness. Right? So Tantric school says this like this. So, and my only school says, so way of you asking question to the follower of the Perfection Wisdom Sutra, so that indicates that you are not really understanding the true truth, right? If you do understand the true truths, so you do not have that kind of confusion on that. So action and the fruits exist, but an agent is not observed or not exist. Is ultimately, how could all phenomena be naturalless? If it is conventionally, then since agent exists in that way, conventionally, so how could it be said that they are not observed, they are not exist, observed by the awareness, right? So this is a very simple question, right? And so Vasubandhu, from the mind only school, so then if one knows what conventional and what ultimate truth are, one understands through this to exist in those two ways, therefore what those to be. So you can understand how they exist and not exist. You can explain or describe that the fruition and actions are exist in substantially. Age in the I is not substantial existence, that I is imputely existence. Existent, okay. Response by the hero sectarians, names, verbalizations, designations, and conventions are conventionalities. The one characters, the own characters, mingdan jeba dan da ba dan tan yin ne kunzu yin na s chuan ne jerang ge sin yin ne tuan da ma yin no wo shen na s so tantric school order the hero sector in this is an existence and not existence, right? There's a conventional existence, there's another is ultimately existence. Ultimately existence is by it exists by way of its own character, right? And conventional existence means something that is make exist by term, name, verbalizations, and thought, right? So there's a two way of existence, one that exists by its own sight, one that is forced to exist by labeling, by name or term or the thought. So two way of existence. So they all believe, they accept that, right? And own character, that is to say, the establishment by way of their own character or phenomena is ultimately existence. Now, answer by the Vasubandhu. Then, in that case, since actions, the fruition exists as name, is conventionally, in that case, in the definition that you mentioned. So in that case, an action and fruition exists as a name, because this is something object, something that is the basis of labeling, basis of name. So that is it is kind of something observed by the term and thought. In that case, and also exists as ultimate. That's the sense of being established by way of their own character. So let them be considered as both conventionally existing, and that is existing as a conventionalities, and ultimately existing in accordance with how you assert this. So this is really not really the way of their answering, Vasubandhu answering towards the hairy sectarians. Is not really being very, openly answering that. So he is just waiting for the hero sectarian to understand the true, ultimate truth and the conventional truth. So first I'll read and then we'll go again. Ultimate existence in that case. Because you said conventional existence means something that is exists in the face of term and thought. That is the definition of conventional existence. And so one that ultimately existence, the definition of ultimate existence, what they believed, here is sectarians believe is established by way of its own character. Then Vasubandhu says, so if you in that case, and I would say action and fruition exist in both ways, because action and fruitions are the exist in the face of term and thought. Action and the fruitions exist by way of its own character, because these the first kind of the way of existing and conventionally is. Because these are the object, these are the basis of labeling, these are the object of the thought consciousness. Therefore, I would say this is conventional existence, right? And the second, that the ultimate existence, you said the definition of ultimate existence established by way of its own character. And I also believe that, and the fruition and actions are exist by way of its own character, because it's something that's produced by causes and conditions without depending depending on thought and term. So this is a little bit a confusion first. And the mode of their ultimate existence is the former. So because mind only school, the way of presenting the ultimately existence and conventionally existence is very tricky, right? So there's a two way of stating the definition of ultimately existence and ultimate truth, conventionally existent and conventional truth. So this is completely different in mind only school, right? So in that, now Vasubandhu's the idea, the frame idea of that where he is answering towards the heterosectarians is from the mind only school. So because mind only school have an idea that is conventional existence and conventional truth are not the same, and ultimately existence and ultimate truth are not the same. So, and first they are letting the heterosectarian to posit that the definition of conventional truth and conventional existence and ultimate existence, and the heterosectarian says, oh, the meaning of conventional existence is something that is object or exists in the face of term and thought. That is meaning of ultimate conventional existence. And ultimately existence, the meaning of that is something established by way of its own character. So in the Vasubandhu says, because they have the idea that already have in mind only school, so it says, in that case I would say the fruition and actions exist in the both way, in your in the sense of your definition that you present, right? So mind only school, so we just this like make it clear that if someone asks directly mind only school, the person, one mind only school follower ask another mind only school, ask that questions, and then it's very, there's no confusion, because it says fruitions and action that exist, the agent not exist means fruition and action are substantial existence, right? And agent I is not substantial existence. This, in that context, in this context, the idea of existing, not existing is conventional existing or not, I mean, substantially existent or something imputely existence, right? Is not talking about the true truth. Not talking about the true truth. So here is section confused in the ultimate truth, ultimate truth and conventional truth, and substantial existence and conventional existence. They they are really mixing together, and they believe something. There's a second turning wheel of the Dharma, the follower of the literally follower of the second turning wheel of the Dharma. They are not really understanding the Buddha's thought. So this is everything is naturalness, and if you believe that, so take, and then how you explain, describe that Buddha's his own sutra. There is one sutra, there is one sentence is mentioned, action and fruition do not exist, exist. Agent is not exist. So how do you describe that? If you said action and fruition exist an ultimate level, right? And then you say action and fruition are ultimately exist, agent is not ultimately exist. right? So, and then you already have something that is ultimately existence. And then how do you describe the literal meaning of this second turning wheel of the Dharma? That's that explicitly saying that all the phenomena are natureless. So they believe this is a very big question that there is. So the, for the mind-only school, there's nothing. Because you do not understand the true truth. That's why you got confused and you are raising that question and you believe that you are the smartest one. Yeah. So the meaning is that an action and fruition exists in both ways. Although the action and the fruition are asserted as existing as that ultimate, so that is established by way of their own character, in this mind-only system, such is not contradicted by the statement in the sutra that ultimately all phenomena are natureless, because that passage in the sutra is not asserted as literally as acceptable. So mind-only system says, so now distinguishing between the two statements. So one, that statement that brought up by the hearer sectarians, agent and action are exist, agent is not exist. And another another statement that is from the second turning wheel of the Dharmas, all the phenomena is naturallessness. So mind-only school says the first the statement that means action and the fruition are substantial existence, agent is not substantially existent. And then about the all the phenomena naturallessness that is literally stated in the second turning wheel of the Dharma, and mind-only school says we are not really accepting that literally the meaning of the second turning wheel of the Dharma. So I think that questions can be raised for the both mind-only school and the middle school. So now this is the mind-only turn to answer to the hearer sectarians for that raises questions. The person exists conventionally, but do not substantially exist, that is here. Because they exist imputely, dependence on the aggregates. And action and fruition exist conventionally, that is in conventionalities, in that they exist as a basis of imputation of conventions, and also exist substantially, in that they fulfilled none of three meaning of being imputedly existence. So yeah, the mind-only schools, their way of describing on that statement is fruition and action substantially existence, agent as I is not substantially existent. And fruition and actions are substantially exist because these are perceived or directly observed by the direct perception or experience or so maybe you can explain how do you how to describe that fruition action is mind-only school action is the lay karma, so that is a function of activities of the mind, right? The positive mind or negative mind, that is belong to the consciousness. It's a part of consciousness. The consciousness means that it's already observed directly by the self-knower. There is the consciousness that which is observing directly to that consciousness, which is the karma. And so that means without depending on thought, without depending on the labeling, name, and self-knower can directly observe the karma action. So that means indicates the action karma is a substantial existence, because these are observed by directly observed by the consciousness. So and the fruition is also is like for human beings, like a happiness of the human being, happiness of happy feeling of the human being, happy feeling of the God realms. These are the feeling, these are the consciousness directly experienced by the sentient being. So therefore it's a substantial existence, right? So now the agent, the I, is not substantially existent, it's impurely existence. So to perceive that the entity of I is without having imaginations, without labeling, without depending on another the factors. So you can, there's no way of perceiving the I. So I exists impurely. So probably you remember that in definition of impurely existent in mind only systems, maybe there. Without depending on another factor, without relying on other factors, something that is perceived by the something that is recognized by the awareness, that is the definition of this substantial existence. So that means without depending on other fact, without depending on so without depending on thought, without relying on the factor that is our aggregates, right? Now here I think there's a two two mode of existence in the imputely existence, in the sense of imputely existence. There's a two mode of existence, like being basis of the name is one that is imputely existent, is totally depending on thought, totally depending on name, and by depending on thought and name, and something you can perceive or you can recognize the things, right? Like being based of the name, right? So when you try to understand the meaning of the being basis of name of pot, being basis of name of tree, being basis of name of house, is you have to being depending on name and term, right? Without depending on that, you cannot recognize the phenomena, recognize the entity, particular entity. And now another mode of existence in the sense of imputely existence is the I. I is without relying on the factors that is other than I, like physical aggregates, like consciousness, the five sense consciousness, the mental consciousness, and the feelings, discrimination, awareness, without relying on those. So you cannot recognize the entity, that entity of I, right? So so depending on thought, relying on other factors that is other than that, at the particular entity, and so these are, that is the meaning of the imputely existence. And without depending on naming and term, without relying on other factors that is other than the entity that you are observing on it. So that is substantial existence. For example, this table, to recognize, to perceive that table, is without depending on naming a term, you can recognize, you can perceive this table. Without relying on other factors that's other than this table, it's not, to perceive this table is not relying on the carpet or the wall or the ceiling, so you can just directly perceive that, right? To perceive I, to recognize the I, you have to rely on the other factor that other than the I. So, right? So something relying on other factors, the physical and the consciousness and discrimination awareness, by relying on that, by appearing those factors to the consciousness, and after that you can recognize the imputely existence, right? So this is there, maybe probably we need to discuss little, and then it's going to be more clear. So here is Sectarians raises the argument towards the great vehicle. Taekwa Chenpo is a great vehicle. It's a mind only school and middle school who follows the second turning wheel of the Dharma. The middle schools, literally they're following the second turning wheel of the Dharma. And the mind-only system, the mind-only school, is indirectly the following this second turning wheel of the Dharma, right? So the hero section raises the question for those two great vehicles. And the mind-only school says, so the statement that you brought up is just with confusions that indicates no understanding of the true truth. And because mind only system has a different understanding, a different way of understanding and conventional. So this is conventionally existent, conventional truth, ultimately existent, ultimate truth. So this statement is not talking about the true truth. This is talking about the substantially existent and imputely existence. I is imputely existing, and action and fruition are substantial existence. The hero sector, and this believes this. This is the big question for the both, because action and fruition exist, agent not exist. And then you have to choose, is it existing, exist or not exist, either in an ultimate level or the conventional level. So when you say action and fruition are ultimately existence, an agent is not ultimately existent, conventional existence, right? If you say that in this, you describe in this way, and how could you describe the second turning wheel of the Dharma, the statement that the second turning wheel of the Dharma is mentioning that all the phenomena is naturalessness, right? Naturalless, right? All the phenomena naturalless, and how can you say action and fruition ultimately exist, right? If you say agent is not exists in the conventional, that means action and fruition are ultimately existence, and I is conventional existence. If you agent is conventional exist, and that means the fruition and action are not conventional exist. So, and for the Harry section, the Sotantic school, so this is really Confucian's, and my own school says, this just because of you are not really understanding the true truth. That's why you got into Confucian. You want to discuss on that?
Uh-huh. Why they keep using the same word for different things? Because, you know, here you said, it's interpreted in the same way in the very beginning, this first paragraph, above the book about the boundaries of explanation. He said the object is conventionally, and then that is as a conventional truth, which is actually Jeffrey Hopkins' quotation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then that's what he meant, really. It's conventional truth. But then he reduced it conventionally, and then, but then when he said it's ultimately, he want to say it's ultimately, but not ultimately true. So, you know, that's why they bring so much confusion, because they use the word interchangeably, but then they want to mean different things. So that's why it's confusing. Like, they want to say conventional truth, but then they actually use exist conventionally. And then they want to say ultimate existence, not ultimate truth, but then they, you know, they use ultimate existence, and then, you know, so that's why the four different things become sometimes look like, well, we are talking about conventional truth, but then they use the same word, exist conventionally. So that's why it becomes very confusing. That's how I feel. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, but then, you know, the language makes it confusing because they're all using the same word, but they're meaning different things.
Yeah, this is conventionally, it's not functioning. Ultimately, not functioning too.
Yeah.
I think it's broken. Yeah. No, I think, yeah, this. Because my own school in this side and middle school and Sotantic school's idea, right? Sotantic school, so object the definition of object is something that's realized or the okay, of the definition of objects in Sotantic school is suitable to be the object of the valid cognition or awareness. So that can divide into two. True truth and negative and positive, and one and other, one or the different. So they divide two, right? So, and ultimately, ultimate truth and conventional truth. So they do not have my own system, conventionally existent and conventional truth, ultimately existent, ultimate truth. That is also not really exists, that kind of way of presenting the meaning in middle school too. So middle school, there's not, it's very clear, ultimately existent and ultimate truth, conventionally existent, conventional truth, the same. Only in the mind only system, it's different. Conventionally existent, ultimately existent, ultimate truth, conventional truth. Because mind only school has to have those two because of they are not literally taking the meaning, what is really stated and second time wheel of the Dharma. So sir, that's why they have, they need many tools to fix the second time wheel of the Dharma. So they are not really following this the sutra, Heart Sutra, right? The Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. So, and now the Sotantic school, conventional truth, conventionally existing, ultimate truth, ultimately existing, is the same. So then, they're supposed to have that kind of confessions. They're supposed to have that kind of the caution to raise towards the middle school and mind only school. Because the mind only middle school and middle school, they how to say, they are saying that, and all the phenomena naturalness, because and the statement and the second term will of the Dharma, everything is not exist by way of its own character. There is no independent existence. There is no truly existence. Right, and but saying that they understand that they know the middle school and they're saying perfection of wisdom, so follower of the perfection of wisdom sutra, all those are really following that sutra. And Sotantic school says, and there's another statement. So Buddha says action and fruition exist, agent not exist. Now, how can you explain that? Describe this statement. So you are saying action and fruition exist in conventionally or ultimately? If you say ultimately, and then you have to say I, the agent, is not ultimately exist, conventionally exist. Right? So action and fruition ultimately exist, and something there is a truly existent, independent existence. And how can you describe that? Literally statement in the second time will of the Dharma, right? If you say the I not exists, that means I not exists and ultimately only exists in conventional. So if the I is conventional exists, action and fruition is ultimately existence. So this you cannot describe in that statement. So that statement actually literally contradicting the second time will of the Dharma. Right, so in this, now this is the mind only school's part. This is their own world, right? And mind only school way of answering for that is, so that indicates, so you are not really understanding the true truth. Because mind only school, they have very good understanding about the true truths. They are very, I think, they are the only, the wise one who can describe the second turning wheel of the Dharma. Because the second turning wheel of the Dharma has literal meaning and how to say, indirect meaning, implicitly meaning, right? So that is something not really feed each other, feeding into each other, right? So, so mind only system saying the statement that you brought is talking about fruition and action substantially exist. Agent I is not substantially exist. So there's no middle way answering in this book right now. Right, middle school.
So what's the definition of ultimate and conventional truth in Mayan school?
Ultimate truth?
Yeah. Or school?
Mine only school, object, Namdalamji, Migwa Thartu means ultimate object of observation and purifications. Right? Namratabilam Miwatardu. Ultimate object. The object of observation and purification. By observing on that that object that purifies and that purifies the delusion. And Tartu. Yeah.
So I is not the ultimate object of purification.
Observation and purification, yeah. No. Just by observing on I, there's no purifications. There's more impure natures coming. Right. Observing on I, it creates all things, actions, negative action, the positive action, negative action that leads into samsara because of observing on I.
So observing on I makes you realize impermanent I. I not impermanent. I not be. I observing on I means you realize selflessness of I.
Observing on I?
Yeah, selflessness of person.
Yeah. Selflessness of the person is the mind that is observing the selflessness of the person is not observing on I. It's really focusing on empty of that substantial I, absence of substantial I. Once you focusing on absence of substantial I or the self-sufficient I, so that means in that phase, the awareness or the realization in that phase, there's no nothing affirmative, only the negation part.
The middle school, this sentence, the ultimate in the emptiness, ultimate emptiness sutra. Action and fruition exist, but its agent is not observed. How do they explain it? In the middle is, I mean, of course, they're all conventional, so why make the distinction? In the middle is.
Mm-hmm. Middle school, oh, okay. Middle school, yeah, let the name you are chababu mimishin somebody. So let the name, so that is exists, or say my middle school action and fruition exist. It exists in conventionally. Right. And I is not exist, right? They are not ultimately exist, not truly exist. Because middle school is a very simple. They have not much the web of confusion. It's very ultimate level and conventional level, right? So conventionally exist conventional truth, ultimately exists ultimate truth. You don't need to further kind of meaning ultimately exist ultimate truth, conventionally exist conventional truth. So mind only system has to have that kind of tools they need, because they are not really literally taking meaning from the second time wheel of the Dharma. So,
but and agent is conventional truth, too. I is conventional.
Yeah, truth. Yeah.
So that's one thing. Why they make a distinction? Because you can the agent, action, fruition, and the agent are all existent. It's all conventional.
Yeah. So are you talking about an existent, or are you talking about how to describe that statement? Right? in general existence, and then said action, fruition, agent all exist. Because agent is the one who is creating the actions. Agent is the one who is experiencing the fruition. The statement, the meaning from the statement, so action, the fruition exists. Conventional. Agent, not existence, not ultimately. Buddha says, do not exist phenomena, that means ultimate level. They are not talking about in general. Right? So, I think expectation from this Heresy doctrine, and this is, they want to hear from the middle school and mind only school, agent and action and the fruition exist. They want to really, they are expecting. So, not exist means ultimately. Action and the fruition ultimately exist. And then if they say that, as if they say, and then they want to say, how do you describe the second turning wheel of the Dharma that's literally stated, phenomena, natureless.
How did they hear that? Did they, you said substantial existence? They hear sect when they hear all phenomena natureless?
Okay, there's a two person here. I'm the middle of Suttantic school. And I raise the questions, right? So you are the guy who believe, who was a follower of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. And if you believe the Buddha Sutra, you are following the Buddha Sutra. There, I have one statement from the Sutra, which says, action, fruition, exist, agent, not exist. Now, my question is, that statement, in action, fruition exists, agent not exists. What I think is action, fruition ultimately exists, agent I is not ultimately exist. Right? Now, I believe, firmly believing in that, right? This is the only one way of explaining this, the statement. And then I will take the statement, show to the both the great vehicle. So now, how can you believe, how can you follow the second turning wheel of the Dharmas that the stating all phenomena natureless, here action, fruition exist, agent not exist. Agent, the I is not exist, but not ultimately exist. So action, fruition exist means ultimately exist. Exist, not exist in ultimate level. Right? So I already say what what I can think, right?
You said when they say ultimately exist, it's substantial.
No. This is the questions about how the Suttantic school raises the questions, how they have understanding about this statement, right? So what the Suttantic have understanding about this statement, action fruition exists ultimately. Agent not exists ultimately, right? And then I would say, how can you follow the second turning wheel of the Dharma and by saying all phenomena natureless are natureless, right? And then statement here is ultimately existent. There are something ultimately existent because action and fruition exist, right? And I raised that question. I raised objection, right? And here, the mind-only school says, and the Vasubandhu is not directly responding this confusions. And they says, and what's your understanding of conventional and ultimate? Instead of clearly explaining what mind-only school understanding on that statement, right? They are not really directly responding that. And then they are just throwing the question back to the Heresy doctrine. How can you explain the meaning of conventional existence, ultimate existence? And so the poor semantic school that says, oh, the object that is observed by the name and term, a thought consciousness, that is a conventional existence, right? Something that is established by its own character, that is ultimately existence. And Vasubandhu says, then I would say action and fruition exist in both. Right? Because action and fruition exist established by way of its own character, it's produced by its own causes and conditions. And then I also say that action and fruition are conventional existence, because these are the object of the term and thought. It's not really directly responding to clarifying his confusion. Like, the playing on his confusion. And afterwards, they say, oh, this statement is about conventional existence, or this, I mean, substantial existence, or imputed existence. So, first, existence means substantial exist. So, action and fruition exist substantially. Agent I is not exist substantially. Agent I exists imputedly. So state meaning of the statement in this mind only school. So it's like that. So then that question raises to the medieval school. Medieval school's action existence conventionally. Everything exists conventionally. If something not exists, there's ultimately existence in general, but not exist ultimately, everything. Right? So it's like there is a the possibility of this argument is because of the label of understanding, Sotantika understanding and mind-only school understanding, middle understanding. So different understandings. Right.
So how does mind-only explanation or agent not exist?
Agent not exist.
Yeah.
It's substantially. Right. Exist.
Middle way.
Ultimately.
Because you said, well, middle way.
Middle way is very simple. Yeah. Action, fruition exist conventionally. Agent not exist ultimately. Right. So, Mind-only school, action, fruition exists substantially. Agent not exist substantially. Right.
Okay. So, they take the first exists conventionally, the second exists ultimately.
Yeah.
Well, it's not absurd. But then, I mean, it's kind of like all playing with the word in Kupa, because actually all three of them now exist. Oh.
I think they are not really arguing based on baseless. There's not really just gossiping or on a phone call. So, because it raises the question from the hearing sectarian, right? Because they see something very the wonderful statement. So, because they like this statement. And then they heard, they know this, the follower of the Professional Wisdom Sutra, they were saying phenomena are natureless. There's no true existence. There's no ultimately existence. And then they want to show this statement, right? Because they are, the hearing sectarians, they believe their understanding of the statement is valid. So this is something really need to be discussed, because it's a this is something meaningful, because of their discussions. There's something meaningful that can clarify it, the confusion, right? So that's why it raises the question like that. Okay. No, I can see. I cannot see the conventional and ultimate report. So we learn those.
Oh, this school got a lot of moves. You had to find this is.
In between
this group. Yeah, don't lose. Oh no, it's broken.
Yeah, it's broken, yeah.
Yeah, there's another piece. That's what happened. The liquid down again. It's breaking. Yeah, it's
good. See,
will these work? Then you can use it within a turn, but you want to do it. Let's develop in yellows. And turn number you want to do it. Turn number you want to do it. Turn number you want to do it. Turn that's what I'm going to do in my
Bible.
Not your column.
Oh.
They're progressive, so if you look at the lower part, it will help you read.
It's more, making more smaller.
The top part is for distance.
There's two parts.
Although actions, fruition are asserted as existing as that ultimate way of their own character, and this mind only systems such as not contradicted by the statement and sutra that ultimately all phenomena are naturalist, because that passage in sutra is not asserted as literally acceptable. The person exists conventionally, but not exist substantially, but do not substantially exist. Action and fruition exists conventionally, and also exists substantially. That name here, kunzu ji yujin, zesu yin yulas. Substantially exist and conventionally exist. Since those two actions and fruitions are object of the worldly consciousness, they do not exist ultimately in the second sense, right? Second sense, that is an ultimate truth. Since they are not final object or observation of path of purification. This is the definition here, ultimate truth. Jigdenbe shibe yuyime jigdene. Jodin yibe tanımdı mevatans. The sense that why those action and fruition are conventionally? Because there are the final, they do not exist ultimately in the sense, in the second sense. And those two are not object of supramundane's consciousness. So those two action and fruition are not object of supramundane's consciousness, because an object of a supramundane's consciousness is the emptiness that is general character, providing all the phenomena in general, and is inexpressible. since its meaning cannot be taken as an object of mind by mere terms. So this is explaining why action fruitions conventionally exist. Yes, it's a conventional exist. It's an object, something that is belong to the worldly consciousness, not the supermundane consciousness. So worldly consciousness, object belong to the worldly consciousness is a conventional existence, and and there is a supermundane object that is a ultimate truth, selfless in a person, a selfless in a phenomena. So those two are supermundane object or supermundane consciousness that is the final. The final object of the observation of a path of purifications. That is the definition, ultimate truth. The final object of observation of the path of purifications. That's ultimate truth in mind only system. Can you memorize this? Then you don't need to ask in the next time, what's our definition of ultimate truth in mind only system? It can be, yeah, because in my middle school, namdala yimi gotardu object, the final object of the observation of path purifications should be emptiness, ultimate truth, right? So there is a, still you can raise the argument, you can argument with this. The final object of observation of the path of purifications, that means by observing on that, that can purify delusions or the imprints of the delusions. Something that is possible, this is the final object of the observation of path of purification. And then, and there is a, by observing on impermanence, by observing on truth of suffering, there is a possibility, so very big, I mean, the greater possibility to purify the delusions. So that is also can be the final object of the observation of the path of purification. So, and truth of suffering is not ultimate truth. So maybe now we can answer, to clarify that as final object. The final object means is a, there is no further discovering the subtle meaning of that object, right? There's no further subtle object. The final object means that. So truth of suffering is not the final object. So there is more you can discover, more you can find the subtle level of that. The subtle nature of the truth of suffering. There's more subtle than the truth of suffering. There's more subtle meaning than the truth of suffering. There's more subtle meaning than the impermanence. There's more subtle meaning than the compassion. There's more subtle meaning than the bodhicitta. The final object is the emptiness, right? behind the emptiness, there's nothing, right? Beyond that, beyond aura, beyond the emptiness. So that's the final object, right?
So for mental way, emptiness is only emptiness.
Yeah, major way emptiness. I'm okay. Always times. Take a jumper, can you share the young ones? You were so so ashamed while I didn't want to do not share it. She wanted you should have said, so we memorize this, okay? Final object or observation of the path of purification. So next time we'll ask what is the definition of ultimate truth in mind only systems. There is a fine, okay. Starbucks coffee. If you fail to answer that, you have to go and grab the
coffee with
that is all good too. Okay. So that there are two ways of possessing the conventional and ultimate truths. It's very clear also in the explanation in Vasubandhu's principle of explanations that the earlier objections, right, the raised by the Hiri section is incurred by the certain proponents of the great vehicles, that is, the proponents of the middles, who propounds as a literal the statement that all phenomena do not exist in the name of having their own characters, not ultimately, right, but exist conventionally. So ultimate middle way is very simple, right? So whatever Buddha says not exists, that is, that does not mean not exist in general, that that is meaning that not exist in ultimate, right? Something Buddha says existence, that is not really meaning of existent ultimate or truly existent independent existence that exists conventionally, right? So yeah, so a statement that all the phenomena do not exist and having their own characters conventionally. Yeah, the pugen or your nasi chi mindo. Yeah, cancer. This really missing, yeah. This is really missing meaning. And so here, yeah, the true object, the supermundane consciousness, because an object was supermundane consciousness. Oh, this is really missing the big mean. So mind only systems, this is the how to say, implying that is the great vehicle who some the implying that the statement or the argument raises from this Hiri sectarians is not very difficult for the mind only systems. They can say is existence means substantial existence, agent not exists in the not substantial existence, and they implies that there is that can be difficult for the some other the great vehicles, that means the middle school. So mind only system says this can be difficult to answer for that statement for other great vehicle, means that implying that for the middle school. So my own school says middle school cannot answer for this. So there's two races. So this is not really missing in this English. Yeah. Especially the American translators, they're being very afraid of discriminating or criticizing. So we already have before an ultimate, the just term ultimate, the object ultimate, the path ultimate, the result ultimate, right? And also the conventional, dispelling another's seeming contradictions, symmetries, differentiations of the middle and the extreme, speaks of three types of conventionalities: the imputational, mental, and likewise the verbal are coarse. So imputational coarse la what da rakpa tabe kunzu shebe kunzu jebe kunzu shejo rakpa. So in terms it treats conventional truth, the coarse suchness, as the three imputational conventionalities and mental conventionalities, verbal conventionalities, imputational conventionalities, like being basis of the name or the imagination, imputational conventionalities, mental conventionalities, like thought and term, sort of mental, thought consciousness, mental conventionalities, the verbal conventionalities, like term. So, the existing or the things that are exist by the force of mental and the verbal, so becomes imputational conventionalities. Right. Wow. Marianne. It didn't help me to see things. No. Maybe. Yeah, it's almost six now. It's okay. So, you want to do more discussion?
Are we going to finish this paragraph or just stop
it? Yeah.
Awesome.
Then it relates these three with three natures, that is imputational, other powered, and thoroughly established nature as verbal conventionalities, whereas as explained above, there are ultimate truths in trading. The later writer, that is to say, thoroughly established nature as a verbal conventionalities, should be understood that it is explained the thought of the other sutras, that they say thusness and so forth exists conventionally. So that means it's being the object of conventionalities, that is, it's being object of term and thought. Because the thought, term is expressing everything, ultimate or conventional. So without being object of term and thought, conventional, so you cannot express. Maitreya is not indicating that thoroughly established nature are actual conventions. Disajoda. Advice that is necessary to distinguish various modes of possessing substantially extreme and imputed existence and so forth in the higher and the lower tenet systems. If in that way you distinguish in detail, right? Okay, so for the higher and the lower systems in that way, you distinguish in detail. So otherwise, not detail. So the different ways the substantial existent and imputed existent are posited, the mode of existent conventionally and existent ultimately in the higher and the lower tenet system, and the different ways in which these are deposited in, even in the one tenet systems, you will be able to delineate well the important tenets. You will also understand the need for the proponents of the middle to prove, as not ultimately exists, many things that the proponents of the true existence assert to exist imputedly and to exist conventionally. So you understand that, right? So otherwise, the differentiation of the upper and lower tenet systems would be reduced to mere whimsy. So in Tibetan words, this is not a nothing. It's just a concept. There's not much sense. You have concept, but not, there's no connection, the feeling, no effect from the understanding or the studying from the tenets. So sometimes you say, which is a bubbly understanding. Like something bubbling, it pops. So then, 8th chapter, Maitreya.
So what's this about? I mean, why you want to talk about this Maitreya? Three different suchness, conventionality.
Mm-hmm.
Or just that if what he mentions actual is not really actual conventional in the story established, the story is trying to see it.
Too hard. So maybe I'll go on that. gadget.
You want to come to the future.
Referring the positions of the answer given. 통문군수중문수고반에서. So starting from refuting the positions of the answer given, section has two parts, indicating contradictions in other tenets, and dispelling the contradiction in our own tenets. So this is really trying to describe in very detail and to existence, to mode of existence, conventional and true truth. And because mind only system, so when they present the tenets by refuting, because of they really want to describe or the explore the meaning of the second turn wheel of the Dharma by the strongly believing and inherently existent. So this is really hard for them to go on explaining the second turning wheel of the Dharma. So the mind only system, the way of their explaining meaning of the second turning wheel of the Dharma is, I think there's a two so they want to explore the meaning of the second turning wheel of the Dharma without hurting the belief that is believing an inherent existence, truly existence. So they want to explain that. They want to know the meaning of the second turning wheel of the Dharma without hurting their strong belief in substantial, truly existence. So they have a very maneuvering style of describing the second turning wheel of the Dharma. So, and then one time, one side, they try to explain, and other hand, they are being a little bit afraid or some kind of contradicting the other sutra. So sometimes this is because they have a very Confucian's term they have to use, conventionally and conventional truth, ultimately and ultimate truth. And Maitreya Buddha's text, or the scripture or the text. So they also rely on some the text that is Maitreya Buddha and also they also sometimes there's bringing the statement from the sutra from the Maitreya Buddha, and then it's not really literally supporting or being evidence for the mind only system, and then now they have to explain that again, that text. And when you read the Maitreya Buddha statement that they brought from the Maitreya Buddha's text, and sometimes this is phenomena are not conventional existence. These are the things that are illusion. There's no true And then they have to explain that again. So illusion and not true means the object of the consciousness, not talking about the consciousness. Consciousness should be exist truly, right, independently. So meaning of the illusion is just in the face of the consciousness, right? So everything's, the functional things, the function things that are functioning is like an illusion, it's like a dream. There's no true inside. And then when this mind-only system goes to explain that, right, and they say there's a truly existent, they always believe the consciousness is the only one you can totally believe that is a truly existent, independent existent. And the Maitreya Buddha says, this like illusion is like a dream, there's no true. So that meaning of that statement is really supporting the mind-only systems. The illusion means the object, things that appears to the consciousness is the illusions. There's no true. Because these are the imputational factors that appears to the consciousness. That's not referring to the subject, the consciousness. The consciousness is truly exists, independent existence. So they're always being very busy. So whenever they bring some that statement from the text, the sutra and Maitreya Buddhas and many that statement. And they, again, they have to they clean up with this. So this is meaning of that. This is meaning of that. Yeah. There's a too busy mind. Only school is too busy. When you come to middle school, maybe you may get sleep. Yeah. So sometimes it's sophisticated. Sometimes it's too busy. There's not much really, it's own, your own creation. Not really, it's not the real thought of the Buddha. And then you're trying to find real thought of the Buddha by following your own creation of thought, created thought. He's also always, when he started teaching, always prasangic school, prasangic, it's more simple. Yeah, prasangic school too. I think it's without having idea. Yeah, pretty much the concept, the without kind of having, I would say, without familiarizing with the Sotantika and mind-only system. Even you believe you are believing in prasangic school, it's very hard to say that. Sometimes, yeah, people think nothingness is the prasangic school. Sometimes people believe resting in alaya is the prasangic school. Yeah, the prasangic school is very difficult. Okay. Next time.